And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
And hello, this is Carl Amari. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, this is like a St. Patrick's Day thing, right? Boy, that threw the heck out of me. Let me tell you that. You know, you can't throw things at me because I'm old. And you throw things at me when I'm old and I fall off my wheelchair.
You know, you got to catch them and just throw them right
I'm like,
back.
What is that?
But that's you played baseball theme. For several years.
Yeah, but that's not my theme. That's not the theme of the WGN Radio Theater. And I am I'm all verklempt now.
Verklempt.
Verklempt. Is that the word?
It's verklempt.
Yeah, so this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari, I think. And you're Lisa Wolf, Mike Costella, Shane Reardon. We're all here, and we're going to play classic radio shows for you all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. This is program 59 in the series. It's March 12th. And what else?
Anything else
you can think of?
No, I think everybody's waiting to hear some great classic
was
radio.
Was that bagpipes, or what
it was
that? It was. I was ready to put a kilt on and just start dancing around.
We are not dressed in green.
No.
Well, nah, Mike has a bit of bluish green.
Yeah, it's bluish.
Close. I didn't even realize it was St. Patrick's Day till I was driving here.
There was a parade today in the city. But,
yeah, well, not much of a parade guy.
All right.
We have classic radio shows for you, though.
Yes,
My
indeed.
Favorite husband. We're going to start things off with Lucille Ball and her radio series. Then it's Dragnet, probably the most famous police procedural show of all time. Jack Webb as Sergeant Joe Friday. Then it's Frontier Gentlemen, a good Western starring John Daner. It's all brought to you in part by our sponsor, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Dr. Stephen Strange in the upcoming superhero film Dr. Strange and is the 14th installment in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All right. If people know who this is, what do they win, Lisa Wolf?
A $25 gift card for Lumel Nati's.
All right.
Delicious
that's
pizza.
That's good pizza. That's for sure. All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint who this celebrity is. This is him in a scene with Keira Knightley in 2014's The Imitation Game.
5 minutes and 34 seconds.
You said to do it in under six.
All right, who is that, along with Keira Knightley in The Imitation Game? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner, and you can win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza after these words.
Welcome back to the one and only WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
5 minutes and 34 seconds.
You said to do it in under six.
And we have Ed on the line from Wheeling. Hey, Ed.
Hi, good evening.
Great, we're glad you called in. Good evening. Can you tell us who that celebrity is?
I believe that is Benedict Cumberbatch.
You are absolutely correct.
Carl, say that name five times
Yeah,
fast.
That's a good one. Yeah, he's not too hard on the eyes either. Ed, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. You can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and check them out at loumalnatis.com. Thanks a lot for calling in. We hope you have a delicious pizza on us.
Yum. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. In just a little while, we're going to have Nick Vassilopoulos. He is the owner of Foremost Liquors, and they're going to be here. We're going to talk about Foremost Liquors a little bit. We're going to give away some fun prizes on behalf of Foremost Liquors, so stay by your radio. But first, we're going to start things off now with My Favorite Husband. I know you love this show, Lisa.
I love Lucille
You love
Ball.
Lucille Ball. Yeah, that's why you like this show. It was a situation comedy program. It premiered in 1948. Lucille Ball and Richard Denning played Liz and George Cooper. They were married on the show and were billed as two people who live together and like it. It was sponsored by Jell-O. And George was a banker, and Liz was his happily married housewife. Gail Gordon was George's boss, Rudolph Atterbury, and Bea Benaderet was Atterbury's wife. Ball refused to transition it to television unless Desi Arnaz, her husband at the time, would be in the show. So they reworked it as I Love Lucy. That's what they did, Lisa.
And it worked.
Yep, and it became a big, big, big success on television, not called My Favorite Husband, but called I Love Lucy. So let's tune this in from December 9th, 1950. It's called The Quiz Show. It stars Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. Here's part one of My Favorite Husband.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of Red Letter Desserts.
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Oka puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers this morning, they're at breakfast. And from the way Liz is looking at George, she is either madly in love or has some ulterior motive in mind.
George.
Hmm?
You look so pretty in that blue shirt.
Now stop the flattery, because you're not getting that new dress that's advertised in the paper.
Oh, did you see the ad?
Yes. Someone had cleverly pasted it on the bathroom mirror.
Oh, those stores will do anything to sell merchandise.
They're shameless.
Yeah, well, George, now that fate has stepped in and brought the dress to your attention, may I buy it to wear to the club dance Saturday? It's only $89.50.
Please, Liz, not while I'm drinking coffee. $89.50 for one dress?
Well, maybe I could do without the stole. Then it would only be $69.50.
$20 for that roller towel with fringe?
It happens to be crocheted with gold tassels on it. It's a stole.
I thought it was a stole.
Never mind. Do I get it? I'll give you three to answer yes. One, two, three. 4, 5, 6? 7, 8?
Save your breath, Liz.
Oh, I'm going to get that dress, George Cooper, by hook or crook.
Well, it'll have to be by crook. You're not going to hook me for it.
Okay, you're forcing me into a life of crime. I'm going upstairs and get my burglar's mask and a bobby.
Jimmy.
You burgle your way and I'll burgle mine. Goodbye.
See you in jail.
I'll get it, Katie.
Liz, girl, hello.
Oh, hi, Iris. Come on in. Sit down.
Well, apparently I've stumbled into the nest of the bluebird of happiness. What's eating you?
Oh, George won't let me have the new dress for the dance Saturday. I'll have to go in my old green dress. I've worn that 3 times.
5, but who counts?
Go on, make jokes.
Look, you come along with me, Liz, and you'll forget all about your troubles.
Where are you going?
To a radio broadcast. Everybody wins with Happy Hal Brubaker.
Oh, that sounds ginger peachy.
Come on, maybe you'll win enough money to buy a new dress.
Well,
who knows? Maybe you'll even be chosen queen for the morning.
Queen for the morning?
Uh-huh. It's only a local show. They can't afford to make you queen for the whole day.
Oh. Quiet, everybody. We're going on the air.
Yes, it was exciting, Liz.
No, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Once again, it's time for Everybody Wins. And here's your MC, Happy Hal Brubaker.
Oh, hello, 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 hello! Welcome to Everybody Wins. We're going to have a lot of fun and give away some wonderful prizes. In fact, we have twice as many prizes as usual today because on last week's Everybody Wins, nobody won.
Why don't they call it Everybody Loses?
Why don't you keep your big mouth shut? And here's a word from our sponsor. Grandma Grimes dares them all. Yes, Grandma Grimes, our sponsor, dares you to make this experiment. Take a mouthful of Grandma Grimes cold cream. And now close your mouth and exhale it slowly through your nose. And now try the same test with your own brand of cold cream. If you notice a difference, write and tell us, as we've never found anyone who can do this test. And now for the goody part of our show. Our first contestant today is going to be the redhead in the audience with the reddest hair. And here's our winner in the first row.
Me?
To you.
Oh, but maybe someone has redder hair than mine.
Oh, come now.
Are you kidding, sister?
What do you mean?
At home, I'm a redhead. Next to you, I'm a brunette. You must give the hen a rinse, a hen a rinse.
Now, just a minute.
Yeah, come on up here, madam. You have a chance to win $500.
I don't care. No one can talk to me like $500?
Yeah, that's right. Come right up here on the stage.
Oh.
Now, if you can answer a question correctly, you win. What's your name?
Mrs. George Cooper.
That's right, and you win $500!
I do? Iris, I can get that dress now.
You bet you can, and here's your money.
Oh, thank you.
But there's one little catch to it.
What's that?
In order to keep this check for $500, you have to cash it.
Oh, that's all right.
In the next 25 minutes.
Ooh.
You have to be back here with the money before the program is over.
Come on, Iris, let's go to the bank and get...
One more thing.
What is it? You're wasting my time.
You have to cash the check without telling anyone it's a stunt for Everybody Wins.
Oh, you can trust me.
I'm sure I can. But we hired someone to go along with you, and it would be a shame to cheat him out of a job.
Oh.
Here he is. Now, if you start to say the wrong thing, he'll say... Yes, he will. All right, Mrs. Cooper, you'd better get going. Now, you have 23 minutes to get the $500.
Well, there's no hurry, Mr. Brubaker. I haven't really been fair with you. I should have told you. My husband is a banker, and I can go right down to the bank and cash this check.
Mrs. Cooper, I haven't been very fair either. This program went on the air at 3 o'clock, and that's when the banks closed.
Ah! Well, don't just sit there, Iris. Start running. We have to get to the bank before they leave. They haven't gone.
So do I.
Oh, good. There's a guard inside the door. See?
I've never seen that one before.
No. Open the door, please.
He's shaking his head and pointing to the clock.
I know what time it is. Open the door. Open this door.
But listen, he's trying to say something.
You have to send a status bar on the Dallas and Bradford set of orders.
What?
You have to send a status bar on the Reaper and the Bradford.
What did he say?
Either I'm not a good lip reader or he's using some pretty strong language.
Oh, I see George in there. You, George! George, we've got to get in. We've got a check.
Oh, I forgot about our watchdog.
Oh, George sees you. Here he comes.
Hey, what's going on here? Liz, Iris.
George, dear, would you cash a check for me?
Well, if I have it on me, how much do you want? Five, ten?
$500.
Well, I don't know if... $500?
Yes, and hurry, please.
$500? Oh, now, where would you get... Liz, you weren't serious about that burglary business this morning. This isn't forged, is it?
Look, George, I have to get back in 25 minutes. Oh, sorry.
What's this?
Oh, George, meet Mr. out, this is my husband, George.
How do you do?
What's the trouble, George boy? Well, Liz, Lotus Bud.
Oh, Rudolph, thank goodness you're here. Would you please cash this check for Liz?
Why, I'd be glad to.
Oh, Rudolph, you're a lamb. You're just a lamb.
You bring it in as soon as the bank opens in the morning.
Ah, you old goat.
Old?
You. This is terribly important.
And why, pray?
Well, you see, Iris and I went down to the... Oh, I'm sorry.
What's this all about, Liz?
If I can just cash this check in the next... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Liz, we've spent 10 minutes already.
Mr. Atterbury, cash this check for me, please.
Sorry, Liz.
Give me one good reason why.
I'll tell you exactly why I can't cash this check. You see? Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I got carried away.
That's the first portion of My Favorite Husband from December 9th, 1950, the quiz show with Lucille Ball. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we have a special guest in the studio, Nick Vassilopoulos. He is the owner of Foremost Liquor Center, and it's a business you should know about. They are in Jefferson Park area. Nick, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Do you like classic radio shows? Do you like Lucille Ball?
Oh, haven't, yeah, sure.
Good answer. All right, so you have a special you're going to give away to our listeners. This is nice of you to come in. We're going to do something for our listeners in just a minute, but I want to ask you a little bit about Foremost Liquor Center. How long have you been in business, Nick?
24 years.
Okay, so it's definitely an established business, and it's in the Jefferson Park area. What's the address?
Correct. We're at 5301 North Milwaukee Avenue at Central, a block north of Foster.
If people come in, you're going to be there most of the time? They're going to say hi to you?
I'll be there most of the time.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, very good.
Nick's a friendly guy. We want to say hi to Nick. Talk about your varieties of wine and beer and what you offer at Foremost Liquor Center.
We have about 2,500 wines. Over 100 breweries are represented. Countless scotches, countless bourbons, countless vodkas, everything.
So have you tasted them, all of them, so that you are a helpful hint for those who come in and need some advice?
It's a perk of owning the place.
I know plenty of about all of it. I'm the beer buyer for the store, so I specialize in the beer.
Very cool. All right, so... You have other locations too. There's two other locations, but the one you're at the most is in Jefferson Park. Where are the other two locations?
Correct. The other one is in Logan Square, and the other one is in Humboldt Park.
All right. And what are we giving away from Foremost Liquor Center for our audience? Is there a gift card or something like that?
We're going to ask for a third caller, and when we do, that person will win a $25 gift card for Foremost Liquor Center in Jefferson Park.
All right.
The one that's
you can call right now, 312-981-7200. We'll take our caller off the air. Third caller gets a $25 gift card courtesy of Nick from Foremost Liquor Center, 312-981-7200. And do visit Nick. He's there along with your business partner are there most of the time. And you're open 24 hours a day or what's the...
No, we're open from 9 a.m. to 10 Monday through Thursday.
Oh, you have Fridays. You have a life besides work?
Sure, I got a wife and
a life. And a wife.
Of course.
All right, so definitely visit. It's a business you should know in the Chicagoland area, Foremost Liquor Center, and they're in Jefferson Park. Nick, great having you on the show, my friend, and thanks for giving away a $25 gift card to our listeners here on WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, buddy. All right, 11:35. Thank you, David Jennings. And this is the WGN Radio Theater. To my right, Lisa Wolf. In front of me, Mike Gastella, executive producer Shane Reardon in the booth, hitting all the right buttons. And we have more classic radio shows for you all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. We play 6 classic radio shows for you over the weekend. And if you want to find out what shows we're playing or if you would like to request a show to play, Where can they do that, Michael?
They can go onto Facebook and look up WGN Radio Theater.
All right.
They could also take a look at a bunch of different pictures of all of these actors in these old-time radio shows.
That's right. We pick out a picture of each of these actors. We post it on Facebook. And we also would love it if you'd like us. When you go to the Facebook page, please click like. And because Lisa likes to be liked.
Yeah, I like to be liked. And if you comment and you have suggestions, ideas, thoughts, we are always open to them. And we love to receive feedback.
And if you just want to talk to Lisa Wolf, that's a good way to get a hold of her.
It happens.
And we do play everything that they want to hear. I mean, you want to hear Ozzy and Harriet or The Suspense or Jack Benny or The Shadow, we play it for you. So just go to Facebook, search WGN Radio Theater. Also, we have a website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com, and we post our schedule there as well. There's all kinds of fun stuff and thousands of pictures of Lisa.
And what can I say?
You know, and that's what we do. Oh, also, one other thing before we get back to my favorite husband. Our sponsor, Cat's Pride, is giving away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every single month. You can be a winner to this contest. Just send in a picture of you and your kitty cat, along with your name and your cat's name, your city and state. Email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. That's catspridephoto@gmail.com. And what happens is, as soon as you send that picture in to us, you're automatically entered. Mike puts it up on our Facebook page, and then Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, comes in here on the last Sunday of the month. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Dan, Jeff, you'll be here, and we do a drawing. We just take a winner right out of a hat, and you could win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, right?
Yeah, do it now. Send us a picture, and if you have a story, we'd love to hear that too.
Yeah, we want to hear about your kitty. Okay, it's time now for the conclusion to My Favorite Husband. Let's go back to December 9th, 1950, Lucille Ball, a star. Here's the conclusion of My Favorite Husband.
There is a state law that banks close at 3 o'clock. Even if I wanted to cash the check, I couldn't.
Iris, look, right over there on that table, money, stacks and stacks of beautiful green money.
I see it.
I'm going to take one of those $500 bills.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. All right, everybody, this is a stick-up. Raise your hands and line up against the wall.
Liz.
I'll shoot the first one that tries to stop me.
Liz.
Put your hands up.
All right. Now, may I finish?
Yes.
You haven't got a gun.
Oh, I thought it was too easy.
We're wasting time, Liz.
How much time have we got left?
12 minutes. Come on, there's plenty of places to cash checks besides banks.
Okay, let's go. Thanks a lot, you big misers.
As we look in on the Coopers again, Liz and Iris have just left the bank to try to find another place to cash the $500 check from Everybody Wins, which Liz can keep if she can cash it in the next 15 minutes. George and Mr. Atterbury prepare to return to their work.
George, boy, have the other employees gone home?
Yes.
Good. We can turn on the radio. I wouldn't want anyone to know we go over the books with Arthur Godfrey.
Thank you, Mrs. Malone, for being such a good sport and jumping off the high ladder with an umbrella. You missed the mattress, so you don't get a prize. Well, thanks anyway, and we hope that little old leg of yours mends soon.
Oh, gad, boy, that's that awful Happy Hal Brubaker.
Well, folks, we still haven't heard from Mrs. George Cooper.
Mrs. George Cooper.
I guess she's having more trouble than she thought with that check for $500, which she can keep if she cashes it.
Oh, gad!
That's why Liz couldn't tell us what it was.
You numbskull! Why didn't you cash it for her?
Why didn't I? Well, why didn't you, you big fat dope?
What?
Sir?
That's better. Fill your pockets with money, boy. We've got to find those girls.
Where'll we go, Iris? Where'll we go?
There, right down the street. See that sign?
Where?
Do you need money? honey?
Oh, yes. That's the first time I ever saw hmm in neon.
Let's go in. I'll borrow $500 and cash your check for you.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Do you need money?
Yes. I'd like to borrow $500, please.
Of course. Just put your signature here.
Oh, there.
Fine. And now we count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 $100 bills.
Is that all?
That's all.
My goodness. I certainly was mistaken about places like this.
Of course you were. Now I deduct the interest and the carrying charges, and here's your money. $14.32.
What?
And you pay us back at the rate of $50 a week for 36 weeks.
$14?
She has to give me $500.
Oh, why didn't you say so? If you want $500, you have to borrow $13,000.
Skip it. We don't need money that bad. Come on, Iris.
Well, how much time do we have left?
6 minutes.
We're dead.
No, we have one more chance. Old Mr. Trimble at the grocery. He'll cash it for me if he's got it.
Good. Look out.
What?
Step back in the doorway, Liz.
Well, what's the matter?
Look, running down the street, George and Rudolph.
Oh, that's all we need. If they find us, they'll make us tell them where we got the check, and that'll kill the rest of our time.
Quick, into the taxi at the curb.
Okay.
Liz!
Trimble's grocery store driver.
As fast as you can go.
Mr. Trimble, you've got to help me.
Mrs. Cooper and Mrs. Atterbury. Oh, how nice to see you.
Hi. Hi, hi.
Mr. Trimble, will you cash a check for me?
Why, sure. Oh, say, Mrs. Cooper, I'm glad you dropped in.
Thank you.
You know that eggplant I sold you last week?
Yes.
How did that cook up?
Oh, fine. Now, here's the check.
You know, I was worried about that. When you left the store, I said to Martha, and that's my wife, Martha.
Yes, I know.
Martha, I said, I shouldn't have sold Mrs. Cooper that eggplant. It was a mite mushy.
Yeah, well, it was fine. Look, I want you to cash a check for me, and I'm in a terrible hurry.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? If you're in a hurry, you shouldn't stand there jawing.
I think his head's a mite mushy.
Never mind. Here's the check, Mr. Trimble. Do you think you can cash it?
Let me see. Oh, sure, I can handle this.
Oh, good.
We done a big business today.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get in the cash drawer here. That's to tell me when anyone's in the cash drawer. Now, let me see here. Mm-hmm. 10, 20... 30 and 50. That's one. 150.
250.
250.
350.
Please, I'll get all mixed up. Let's see now. 150. 250. 350. 4. 450, 475. Ah, yes, sir. Here she is. $5.
$5? Mr. Trimble, look at that check again.
Oh, my mistake. $50.
No, look again, Pop.
$500? Oh, dear. Oh, let me sit down.
Oh, well, thanks anyway, Mr. Trimble. Iris, I guess we may as well give up and go back to the station.
Well, we lost them, Mr. Atterbury. They got into that cab all right.
Oh, those idiots.
Oh, what'll we do now?
What time is it?
27 minutes past three.
We still have 3 minutes. Let's go down to the radio station and see if they're there.
Pie eating contest
is Mrs. Frühauser, who ate 16 pies. Your prize, Mrs. Frühauser, is a deluxe dinner. All you can eat at the fanciest restaurant in town, and you can use it any time before tomorrow morning. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here comes Mrs. Cooper. Let's see if she cashed that check and gets to keep the $500. How about a hand for her? Well, Mrs. Cooper, how'd you make out?
I didn't. I still have the check.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, you have 2 whole minutes left.
Whoopee.
Now, don't give up. Maybe someone in our studio audience will cash it for you.
Oh, sure. Well, everybody who has $500 in his pocket, please stand up. That's what I thought.
You still have 1.5 minutes. Can't you think of something to do?
I certainly can. Here's what I'm going to do.
Please don't tear up the check.
Why not? I might as well have the satisfaction. There. I will now throw $500 worth of confetti into the orchestra. Here you are, boys. Spend it wisely.
1 minute to go.
To go where?
Liz! 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 Oh, there you are. Thank goodness. We're in time. We've got the money. Here. $500.
Oh, no!
Well, where's the check?
Check?
Yes. Where is it?
There, sprinkled among the band members.
You tore up the check?
I didn't think I could cash it anywhere.
You're 45 seconds to go.
Oh.
Don't stand there sniveling. Pick up the pieces. We'll glue it back together.
40 seconds.
Iris, George, please get busy. Into the band. Into the band.
You're 30 seconds.
Give them to me and I'll fit them together.
Here.
You're 25 seconds.
Well, here's one corner. 500, no sense. Hal Baker, the brew is missing. We have it all but one piece, part of the signature.
Oh, look around, everybody.
You're 10 seconds.
I'm looking.
So am I.
You're 9 seconds. 8 seconds. 7 seconds.
Down on your knees, everyone.
6 seconds. 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1. So sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, almost, Liz, almost.
I was going to buy my new dress with the money.
Yeah, Mrs. Cooper, now that it's over, old Meanie Brubaker has something to ask you.
What?
Why didn't you ask the man who went along with you if he could cash the check?
What do you mean?
He had $500 with him all the time with instructions to cash the check if you asked him.
Why, you dirty...
Oh, that's the dirtiest trick I ever heard of.
Oh, I'm a meanie. I'm sorry I don't have anything for you.
Well, I have something for you. Take this. No!
Worth $500.
It was worth $589.50.
You mean I...
Yes, go ahead and buy yourself that new dress.
Oh, George, you're my very favorite husband.
Yes, Lucille, what's the score tonight?
Tonight, Robert, I'm going literary. I am a famous and cultured lady novelist, and you are interviewing me on the socio-political implications of my latest manuscript. A little implication music, Wilbur.
How do you do?
Hello there.
I'm looking for the famous novelist Elizabeth Doppelfinger Hofenschmeiss.
Elizabeth Doppelfinger Hofenschmeiss?
Yes.
Speaking.
You?
Yes, I am she.
Well, I want to talk to you about your new novel.
Oh, yes. And what was the name of that?
Well, as near as I can pronounce it, it's Gravesnik Plodstrubnikrol.
That's right.
Oh, well, how did you arrive at that title?
Are we alone?
Yes.
I got my fingers one key too far over on the typewriter.
No.
Yes. It was supposed to be Jell-O Wins Again.
Well, tell me, how do you get the ideas for your novels?
Well, it isn't easy. I think of a good picture for the book cover, and then I write a story around it.
Oh?
Yes. For instance, if you would like me to extemporize...
Please do.
Oh, thank you. Well, now, take you. Ooh, that's a good idea. Come here.
Now, just...
Strictly business, huh? Well, what would you like to see more than anything else on a book cover?
A bowl of Jell-O.
You would?
Yes, Jell-O with its six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
Yes.
Jell-O that makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself.
You don't have a feel for the romantic novel. Kiss me. Now, what would you like to see?
Jell-O, because the flavor is locked in and can't get out with your first delectable spoonful. Jell-O with the big red letters on the box.
Oh, he's a stubborn one, isn't he? Kiss me again.
Now, look, you can kiss me from now until doomsday, and you won't be able to change my mind.
Who cares? Think of the fun I'll have trying.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
Bob Lamond speaking.
This is CBS, where you hear My Favorite Husband every Saturday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. December 9th, 1950 is the original broadcast date. Quiz show is heard on CBS, sponsored by Jell-O. And Lisa, you are the woman with a smile in her voice, and you were smiling really big throughout that whole show.
Well, I do appreciate the wholesome advertising. And remember, my background is in advertising, so I have studied advertising from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So I do appreciate the classic advertising,
as they
say.
Did you like that jingle, that commercial jingle they had there
for
Jell-O?
I sure did. I like the wholesome
stuff. All right. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. In our next hour, we're going to tune into Jack Webb, starring his Sergeant Joe Friday on Dragnet. Then our third hour, a good Western with John Daner in Frontier Gentlemen. So we have two more classic radio shows coming your way here till 2 a.m. And we're here Saturdays and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. with these classic radio shows on the WGN Radio Theater. Okay, 12:08, and happy Sunday to you here on the WGN Radio Theater. Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf is here too, Mike Costello, Shane Reardon. And in this hour, we're going to tune into Dragnet, starring Jack Webb as Sergeant Joe Friday. But before all that, it's time for our Cat's Pride segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars as the voice of Poppy in the upcoming computer-animated musical comedy Trolls, produced by DreamWorks Animation.
All right, you can win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza if you can answer this question of who this celebrity is. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. Here's her in a scene from 2015's Pitch Perfect 2.
You are physically flawless.
Thank you.
But it doesn't mean I like you.
Lisa, you are physically flawless. You know that?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I like you either.
I know you don't. All right, 312-981-7200. Who is that celebrity? Call us right now. Win a gift card for Lou Malnati's. Find our winner after this break.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the merits of daylight savings time. Because 2 o'clock becomes 3 o'clock. Plus, the mockumentary people behind Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman have a hit TV show. Daniel Levy joins us to talk about it.
Dave Flyer, overnight, next.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Imagine stepping into your home and not smelling the litter box. Cat's Pride introduces its most advanced lightweight cat litter yet, Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, with superior odor control to keep your home odor-free for 10 full days. It's 50% lighter, 99.9% dust-free, and delivers rock-hard clumping and powerful odor control. Plus, it comes in both a scented and an unscented hypoallergenic formula to satisfy even the most sensitive cats. Cat's Pride Fresh and Light is truly light done right.
Want to know the secret that all those flipping houses gurus won't tell you? That flipping multi-unit properties is easier and more profitable than flipping single-family homes. With over 17 years of experience, we here at RE Mentor will show you the art of buying and selling multi-unit properties. Come spend the afternoon or evening with our team of experts, and we will show you how to put $10,000 to $30,000 in your pocket over the next 90 days. This two-hour class will teach you the art of the multi-unit flip and long-term hold. You'll learn how to buy, hold, and sell multi-unit properties with no money down, no credit, and no risk. And you risk nothing but have everything to gain. This intensive two-hour real estate class is coming to the Chicago area soon. Call 1-800-863-7614 to secure your seat now. This seminar is free for the first 30 people that call. Change your life now and learn the art of the multi-unit flip or long-term hold. Call 1-800-863-7614.
For all the results and reaction of Tuesday night, watch primary election coverage with Mark Sepulsa and Micah Matier on WGN TV News at 9 and 10.
We are back playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
You are physically flawless.
Thank you.
But it doesn't mean I like you.
We have Paul on the line from Woodstock. Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, can you tell us that celebrity voice?
I think it's Anna Kendrick.
You are right. And Paul, you are a winner. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, Chicago's favorite pizza. And you can check them out at loumalnati's.com or visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Thanks so much for calling in. We hope you have a great pizza on us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for tuning in, too. All right, time for Dragnet. You like the detective shows, right, Lisa?
I sure do. Hey,
I mean,
Jack
you just
Webb.
Wait all week for a detective show, don't you?
I'm a fan,
I
Carl.
Know, I know.
You know, I've been bred that
Webb.
Way.
Jack Webb was pretty cool. He created this series, and it came to radio in 1949, ran all the way to 1957, 9 seasons, and it was true crime stories of closed cases from the LAPD department, and he played Sergeant Joe Friday. Each show was detailed from start to finish, and Friday narrated the action. It had tons of sound effects in it, 5 or 6 sound effects experts on this show, and usually a radio program only had 1 or 2. And you know where everyone thinks he said, just the facts, ma'am?
I know, I thought that too.
He never uttered the word, just the facts, ma'am, no. And in the supporting cast, Frank Lovejoy, Paul Frees, Parley Baer, Harry Bartell, Peggy Weber, William Conrad. It also made the transition to the movie screen and also 16 seasons on television. So very popular series. We have a radio broadcast for you now called The Big Check. It's from August 31st, 1950. Here is Jack Webb as Sergeant Joe Friday in part one of Dragnet.
True. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a forgery detail. An accomplished check forger is at work in your city. His victims, small businessmen. You know his M.O. You don't know his identity. Your job, get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, February 4th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working a day watch out of forgery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Elliott. My name's Friday. I was on the way home from the office, and it was 8:25 p.m. when I got to Collis Avenue. Number 4656.
Joseph, that you?
Yeah, Ma.
We're in the living room. We have company.
Oh, that's all?
Hello, Joe. Well, you remember Mary Fowler, don't you, Joseph?
I sure do. How are you, Miss Fowler?
Just fine, Joe, thank you. Doing some shopping out this way and thought I'd stop by and have a cup of tea with your mother.
Well, it's good to see you. How are things in the old neighborhood, huh?
Oh, pretty much the same. Oh, Miss Daly, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Finally died.
Oh,
I suppose it was for the best, though. I was just telling your mother. Jim and Louise Watson finally moved. Jim got a new job out by Altadena.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. My, you certainly looking fine, Joe. Don't you wear your police uniform anymore?
Oh, my, no, Mary. Joseph's in the detective bureau now. Hasn't worn his uniform for years.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. That note you sent with your Christmas card year before last. What do you do now, Joe?
Forgery detail. My partner and I handle bum check cases.
My, that certainly must be interesting.
Have you had your dinner, Joseph?
Yes, ma'am. I stopped at a place out in Santa Monica and had some.
Yes, well, Mary brought me some nice coffee cakes. Pineapple filling. Would you like one with a cup of coffee, Joseph?
No, I don't know, Mary.
Well, you sit down in your chair there and rest yourself. You always look so tired. I have no idea how hard they work those young
fellows. You remember Genevieve, don't you, Joe? My oldest girl?
Oh, yeah, sure. How is she?
Oh, just fine. Lots of boyfriends, as usual. Going out all the time.
Oh, that's good.
She asked to be remembered to you. I think you and Jen were stuck on each other at one time, weren't you, Joe?
Ooh, we went to a couple of dances in high school. And I think she started going steady with another fella, didn't she?
Ooh, young girl. You never know when they're well off.
Here's your coffee, Joseph. Set it here on the end table.
Thanks. I don't think I can use it, Ma.
It's delicious coffee cake. You smell how fresh it is.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, my, 8:45. I should have left half an hour ago.
Oh, you have to go, Mary? Seems our visits are always so short.
Well, I got a lot of ironing to do, and I have to make Carl's lunch. He's always so fussy about his lunch.
Yes, well, I'll get your coat.
Well, it's nice seeing you again, Joe. Do you want to be remembered to Genevieve?
Yeah, tell her hello, will you, Miss Fowler?
If you're over our way, be sure and drop in and see us, won't you? Genevieve's home, office by 6. She often says she'd like to see you again.
Oh,
thanks. Good night, Joe. You be sure and come and see us now.
Okay, Miss Fowler. Good night.
Yeah, I'll show you the door, ma'am. You and then the golden neighbors, won't you?
All right, dear. I'll let you take care of yourself now. Good night.
Good night, Mary. Nice person, Mary. She's having a hard time trying to find a husband for Genevieve.
Yeah. Hey, Ma, I'm not very hungry. I can't eat now.
Shame to waste. Lovely coffee cake. Then you still the same case, too?
Yeah, same one.
You see, it's taken an awfully long time.
No, we've been on it 2 months, yeah.
I'll never understand it. Why people write bad checks. Always get caught.
Well, it's easy living while it lasts.
Now, you know what the man's handwriting is like. Don't you know who the man is?
Well, we think so, Ma. We're not sure. There's hundreds of check men who work almost alike. Some of them even look alike. There's always a big enough field to pick from. Our problem's picking the right one.
I don't know much about it, but the whole thing seems kind of silly to me.
How's that?
What's this man supposed to be doing? Going around your small neighborhood stores, cashing $15, $20 checks? If he got himself a job, he could probably earn that much in one day doing good, honest work.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ben didn't call before I got home, did he?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he with you?
Oh, he was going to interview one of the bum check victims on his way home, a grocery store owner down in Highland Park. It might be him now.
Oh, now, don't hang on that phone, Joe. If your coffee gets cold.
Yeah. Friday talking.
This is Ben, Joe. Got a partial identification from that grocer. Nothing great.
Which mugshot did he like?
Stanley Bielbeck. Grocer thinks it might have been the guy who pushed the check. He can't be sure.
33 bum checks passed. Same M.O. Not one positive identification. Something's phony, isn't it?
It's got me stopped. We know the endorsements on every one of those checks was written by the same guy. He's practically the same story on every one of his victims.
Yeah.
Those 33 people are either blind or they're kidding us.
Well, there's only one other answer.
Huh?
We're looking for the wrong man. For 2 months and 2 days in different shopping districts throughout the city, a man described as well-dressed and middle-aged had been passing worthless checks on independent neighborhood businessmen. Most of the victims were proprietors of small shops, meat markets, liquor stores, grocery stores. In none of the cases was the check written for more than $25. With the help of the stats office and our record bureau, we've gone through the list of experienced checkmen until we found one man whose description and M.O. matched perfectly with that of the suspect. The man's name was Stanley Bielbeck.
We can't locate him, Captain. Another thing, we can't get a positive identification from any of the victims.
And find a suspect they can't identify. You've been tracking the guy for 2 months. What's the big mystery?
Well, we tabbed the man as Stanley Bielbeck, and his record and his M.O., his description, they all tie in perfectly. Now we're not sure it's him.
What do you mean?
Well, if it is Bielbeck, it's almost a sure thing that one of the victims could have made him on one of his mugshots. None of them can make up their minds.
Look, maybe one of you two would like to be captain of forgery for a day, sit in this office and listen to complaints come in over that phone about this guy, the front office, neighborhood business, men's clubs, retail merchants. They tell me they're troublesome in passing them on to you. Now, whoever this paper hanger is, we want him, we want him fast.
Lousy little $20 checks. He'll probably have a lot better target if he drives something bigger.
I don't think he and 100 other check men like him don't know that. You won't find him stealing company paychecks and flooding the town with paper. They take it from the little guy and they take it in small amounts, but add up those small amounts at the end of the year and they'll scare you.
Yeah, that's the rotten part about it. None of those victims can afford a bad check.
That grocer Donnelly stands on his feet all day and at a profit of $10, $15.
We've got bulletins out on the suspect to all the small businessmen in town. We've all been alerted.
Excuse me. Captain Elliot. Yeah, okay, Don, right away. Don Myers. He went over the handwriting those last three checks. Wants to see you.
Okay.
How about that special bulletin you got out to the prisons on Stanley Bielbeck? Any replies?
Nothing yet, Skipper.
All right, stay on it.
All right, let's go, Ben.
It's a sour deal. I'd give a right arm for a line on this guy.
Yeah. Well, it'd move a lot faster if somebody'd help us follow those checks closer. The way it's running now, we hear about the paper 2 weeks after it's been cashed.
The Bielbeck thing isn't helping much. No use trying another line, we get a seven. Mm.
Hi, Don.
Oh, hi. Just finished up on those last three checks that came in. You want to give them a look?
How do they shape up?
Well, you can see for yourself. Right here.
Yeah?
Here are the three I just went over.
Mm-hmm.
And here are a half a dozen bad ones for cash last month. Now, the endorsements on this half doesn't match perfectly.
On those other three?
Well, I'd say they were endorsed by the same person. Now, look here.
Huh?
You can notice the capital letters. They still handle them the same way. Disconnected from the other letters in the first name. See?
Yeah, yeah.
But he connects the capitals in the last name. See?
Mm-hmm.
Not very bright.
Yeah.
No, not much doubt in my mind. All the other handwriting factors tie in. Form, skill, shading. They all match up. The movement, terminals, they're all the same for my money. Yeah, here, the way he writes the lowercase letters. Yeah, that cinches it for me.
How's that, Don?
Well, here. The inclination of the terminal stroke on the S. See? Degree of slant above the horizontal is just about 55 degrees in all cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the finger movement and his capitals have plenty of freedom. They're not shaded much.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like this in his lowercase letters, though, you see? Here.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean.
Not much freedom here. Lots of shading. And the pressure on the lifts. Here. They match up.
Mm-hmm.
Same on the downstroke. No, I'd say the skill is medium in all cases. Embellishments, both class two.
No changes at all in the style?
Oh, he made the signatures look a little different. All eight factors match up, though. It's the same person.
All we have to do is find him.
Hey, how about this fellow Stanley Bubeck? I thought you had him tapped.
Now, we're not too sure about him, but it's the only line we got to work on, so it'll have to do for now.
Mm-hmm.
Romero, the man in the office, see you and Joe. Name's Loomis.
Right, Fred. Be there in a minute.
Hey.
Well, thanks, Don. We'll check you later, huh?
Sure, okay. See you.
Let's go, Ben.
And on the Mike Costella door slam. We are going to take a break here on Dragnet from August 31st, 1950. Show called The Big Check, starring Jack Webb. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes, so stick around here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back, WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf is here looking very vivacious, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
Yeah, very vivacious.
But you said that last week, so you have to come up with a new adjective this week.
I don't have that large of a vocabulary.
No, I know. I'm putting you on the spot.
You know,
it's
we like to bring businesses in here that can do something for our listeners, and I think we have a great one for you now. It's called Grassroots, and Todd Rhodes from Grassroots is here. I want to say hi to him. Hey, Todd, how are you?
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And Grassroots is in Barrington, and I have to confess, I've lived in Barrington a long time. I can't believe I haven't been in your place yet. It's wild. I look at the pictures, and it's like it's so friendly and so great. Tell our audience a little bit about Grassroots, and then we're going to do something fun for our audience, thanks to you.
You haven't been in yet?
I have not been in yet, but
I'm
going
to
be. I'm going to be in there for sure.
So we when we first opened, we decided, you know, everybody asked why Barrington, and really, it was one of those things where so many people have moved out, and I feel like so many people have experience with some type of urban feel, and that's basically what we deliver to them. You know, we've got everything under one roof. We have a bar, we have apparel, we have a skate shop, a barber shop called Chopped and Hop. You can get a cocktail and a haircut. We have great entertainment coming through. We've got Chuck Cannon coming up this next weekend for two nights.
Oh, wow, great.
And we've just basically given people what they like to do. It's a social environment, so you can come in. It's fully set up for families, too, and that's kind of what we went after.
All right, 211 Park Avenue in Barrington. I'm sure people in Barrington that are listening to the show have visited Grassroots, but if you haven't, like me, you got to be there. And Lisa, you need to drive out and come to Grassroots with
me. I'll drive out and check it out only so I can see Todd there. Are you there? Are you hang out there, Todd?
I live there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I figured. It looks real friendly. What made you decide to open Grassroots?
You know, really, as I was saying, it's been needed. I grew up in Buffalo Grove, first moved to Barrington in 89, and it was just one of those things that lived in New York City for a while, traveled for a while, and when I came back, not a lot had changed. And the one thing I knew is that as families had grown, you know, they've experienced more, and that was really the motivation for me, was to try to change Main Street. We actually opened a second store, too, called Alley 59, which is like a local neighborhood bar with, like, repurposed furniture, and it's a really cool spot. But we're really trying to evolve the town and just bring, you know, like I said, more social type of stuff, but also bring things that you would normally get in a city environment out
there.
Well,
it looks like a lot of fun to visit Grassroots. I'm looking at the pictures. It's like everybody's like having a blast there. And it is very family friendly as well. So, and that's important to our audience. So you're giving away to the third caller a bourbon tasting for four at Grassroots. Now tell us about this prize.
So we actually have, it's interesting, we have a beer and bourbon club, and anybody can join. It's 100 for the year. You get a free tasting for up to six people. It's been real successful for us. So basically the tasting is this: you bring four people in, and we'll sample up a bunch of different bourbons. If you call and you'd like to, you know, sample up craft beer instead, that's perfectly fine too. But we have over 30 bourbons that we offer, all in craft. We don't carry any mainstream product. It's all specialty product, and it's across all spirits and craft beers. So
this is a terrific prize. We're going to give a bourbon tasting for four at Grassroots in Barrington to our third caller, 312-981-7200. Call now. Phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. And Todd will be there, and he'll host you. He'll take care of you. And is it a certain date that this is going to be on, or
they can just call and excuse me and schedule the date with me.
All right, so call now and you can win a bourbon tasting for four at Grassroots. It's at 211 Park Avenue in Barrington, and you can look at them on Facebook too. Just search Grassroots of Barrington on Facebook. You see their Facebook page.
Absolutely, and I'd like to give a shout out to my boys Tucker, Sterling, Ryder, and Bo. I love you guys.
All right, man. Very
You're my
cool.
motivation for everything, you
I'm
guys.
I'm going to come in there. I'm going to come in to Grassroots and see you very soon, buddy. All right?
Yeah, also a reminder for Chuck Cannon next week. It'll be awesome.
Very cool. All
Thank
right.
Thank you so much.
Check out Grassroots of Barrington. We absolutely like to focus on businesses that our audience would enjoy knowing about and giving away a nice prize, and I appreciate that nice prize. Thank you so much, Todd. Oh, this is where I always ask Lisa to dance. Can I have this dance, Lisa?
And I always say no. You know, I mean, I got to play hard to get.
When are you going to say yes to me? I mean, come on. Just a one dance? I mean, just one little...
One spin?
Spin around the council here?
Are you any good at dancing?
No, I am brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I'll have to think about that one for a while.
I'm kind of not coordinated.
Two left feet?
No. Ping pong, though.
Ping pong is
your
deal.
You don't want to play me at ping pong.
I did play you.
Warning you right
you
now.
You killed me.
I know. Just warning you right now. That's my game. That I'm not uncoordinated
All
at.
Right.
But pretty much everything else.
No, you're a great baseball player.
Oh, thanks, Lisa.
Sure, Carl.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. I'll be waiting a while, huh?
All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater, where we have lots of fun every Saturday and Sunday night. We play these wonderful classic radio shows, the shows that aired on the radio back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. All your favorites, including The Shadow and Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Whistler, Lights Out, Dragnet, which we're listening to right now. Please tell a friend, and we're here Saturdays and Sundays, so both weekend nights. We're the weekend people here, Lisa.
And we're here the full 3 hours tonight, even though it's daylight savings time.
I mean,
time.
Lisa falls asleep by the second hour usually, but...
And I'm still awake,
We just give her a nudge. She gets up and she does the show.
Yeah, I try
You're
to stay
trooper.
Awake.
You're a trooper. You know that,
Thanks,
Lisa?
Thanks, it's tough,
such
you know.
Such a trooper.
Thanks, Carl.
We're tuning into Dragnet. Then it's Frontier Gentleman, a good Western. Mr. Matenki, your dad would like that because he likes the Westerns.
He does.
Mr. Matenki and Mrs. Matenki.
Yeah, my parents.
Are they listening? Do they listen to you? My mom listens to me every night. She wouldn't miss a
you
show.
You know, they're in Florida for the winter.
They
and
can hear
I'm sure they've been asleep for hours by now.
This signal reaches 40 states plus Canada, the legendary Radio 720.
They vote for the podcast.
Yeah. I love it when people call in to win prizes and we see Florida and North Carolina and Mississippi and... MISSISSIPPI.
That's good, Carl.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not bad. I did learn a couple things in school.
What did you major in, Carl?
Well, when I was in college, I studied to be an astronaut.
Really?
Yeah. I took up space. I want to remind our listeners that we have a Facebook page for this show. Just search WGN Radio Theater, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
And if they want to hear something, let us know.
Definitely.
Lisa will...
I will play it for you. Just ask. Ask and you shall receive.
Lisa's the boss. If you can get past her, it'll get on the air.
It's a deal.
That's the way it works. All right, we're tuning in to Dragnet, Jack Webb. It's a program called The Big Check. Let's go back to August 31st, 1950 for part two, the conclusion of Dragnet.
How you do? You Mr. Loomis?
Yes, sir. Sergeant Romero?
No, this is Sergeant Romero here. My name's Friday.
Oh, how are you doing?
What can we do for you?
It's about these checks, Sergeant. And these right here.
Yeah?
You see, I run a delicatessen out on Sunset, and a few days ago, a new customer came in for a few things and paid for them with these checks. He came in twice.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got the checks back today. They're no good. I tried to look up the man at the address he gave, but there's no such address.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, one's for $15, the other one's for $20.
Yeah.
The reason I asked for you men is because I know the man who runs the drugstore across the street, George Holmquist. He had some bad checks about a month ago. He said you took care of them.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Do you recall the man who passed these checks, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, I think I do. He told me he was new in the neighborhood and he was looking for a place to trade. Well, I guess we're all anxious for new business. I took the checks.
You got those mug shots there, Ben?
Yeah.
Here we are. Thank you. How about these men, Mr. Loomis? Any of them look anything like the person who passed the checks on you?
No. Let's see. Now, this one, yes, it does look like the man in a way. I don't know if I could be absolutely sure.
Stanley Bubeck, same M.O.?
Beg your pardon?
Well, it looks like you're stuck with a couple of bad ones, Mr. Loomis. Probably the same man who passed checks on your druggist friend. We're doing everything we can to run this man down.
Look, what about the checks? Isn't there anything I can do about them?
No, sir, I'm sorry. Not right now. We would like to have you make out a crime report, if you will. And would you leave these checks with us?
Yeah.
Friday, Romero.
Excuse us, Mr. Loomis.
This just came in for you. Reply from Salt Lake City, Utah, on that bulletin you sent out on to Stanley Bubeck.
Yeah.
He's been in jail for 5 months.
We sent a request to Salt Lake asking him to question Stanley Bubeck if he knew of any forger who matched his description or used his M.O. Bubeck could tell us nothing. Wednesday, February 6th, we threw away the results of 2 months of investigation. We went back and started from the beginning. Despite all precautions and warnings, the checks kept coming in at the rate of half a dozen a week. The same M.O. was used. The same handwriting showed up in the signatures on the check. Again, with the help of the staff and the statistician's office and the record bureau, we waded through hundreds of names of known checkmen and compiled a new list of 38 possible suspects. Each one fitted the general description of the forger. Each one, at some time in his forgery career, had used the same general method of operation. Well, after days of legwork, we finally boiled down the list of possibles to three names: George Roberts, James Young, and a Harry L. Johansson. We got out a flyer to all the small businessmen in the areas where the forger operated. Another week passed. The worthless checks kept showing up at the rate of two and three a day. On February 21st, Ben and I answered a call from a druggist in the Echo Park district.
He bought some toothpaste and a carton of cigarettes, Sergeant. Asked me to cash a $20 check for him.
Did you ever see the man before, sir?
No, he gave me the same old story about being new in the neighborhood. That's when I remembered that police bulletin the department sent me.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have that bulletin?
No, I looked it over, and then I guess it got mislaid.
I wonder if you'd mind taking a look at these pictures here.
Not at all.
These right here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. This one right on top, that's the man.
You sure?
I am. It only happened a few hours ago. Do you know who he is?
Harry L. Johansson. That's the name we have on him.
It doesn't mean anything to me. He got real huffy when I wouldn't take his check. Stalked right out of the store. Very suspicious.
Did you follow him?
No, I told Ralph, my clerk, to follow him. Ralph.
Yeah, Mr. Butler?
You want to tell these officers about that man this morning?
Well, I followed him down the street for a block and then turned the corner. That's where I lost him.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, all I got was a license number.
The license number which the drugstore clerk had given us. We went back to the office and checked it through DMV. We found the car was registered to a Russell Burroughs on Pico Boulevard. We checked him out. He told us that he had loaned his car the day before to a friend of his. He identified the friend as Harry L. Johansson and gave us his last known address, 614 Elderwood Avenue. We got out a broadcast on the car. The Elderwood Avenue address turned out to be a single-story wooden frame house in the southern part of the city on the edge of the industrial district. It needed a coat of paint. A woman in her elderly 30s answered the door and identified herself as Mrs. Johansson. She invited us into the living room. There was a baby playing on the floor.
I don't expect my husband home for another 2 weeks, Sergeant. He's a cosmetic salesman. Travels all over the western states.
When did he leave on this last trip, Mrs. Johansson?
The first of the month. Why, is anything wrong?
What's the name of the cosmetics company that your husband works for?
Harrington Universal. Offices are down on East Main.
Mm-hmm. Do you know a friend of your husband's named Russell Burroughs?
Yes, I do. He's kind of a friend of the family. Please, Sergeant, if there's anything wrong, I don't know.
We talked to Mr. Burroughs this afternoon. He told us your husband's in town. Burroughs loaned him his car.
That's silly. He's still on the road. He'd certainly let me know if he was coming back early.
You sure of that, ma'am?
Would you excuse me a minute, Sergeant? I'll have to put the baby to bed.
Certainly, ma'am.
Come on, Bonnie. I'll be back in a minute.
Kind of a funny setup, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, if Johansson's pushing bum checks, the money isn't going into his home here.
Wife doesn't act like she knows anything. Seems cooperative.
Afraid we're going to have to level with her if we're going to find out anything, huh?
Mm-hmm. She's got a cute little girl.
I'm sorry, Sergeant.
Perfectly all right. Just a few more questions.
Is it possible that your husband could be in town and you might not know it? I mean, could he be staying with a friend or some relatives?
No, if Harry was in town, he'd come home. Why would he stay with anyone else?
When did you last hear from your husband?
Last week. He wrote from San Francisco. The letter's right there on the mantle.
Oh, huh. Well, besides that letter, do you have any other samples of your husband's handwriting, Lynn?
Well, I think so, yes. Where did you say you were from?
Central Division, forgery detail.
You investigate checks, bad checks?
Yes, ma'am, that's right.
And you know about my husband?
His prison record, yes.
Harry promised me he was through with all that. He gave me his word.
Sorry, ma'am.
About a month ago, he had some extra money. He wouldn't tell me where he got it. Look, Sergeant, maybe you've made a mistake. Maybe it's not Harry at all. You're not sure, are you?
Did your husband use the phone much? I mean, for out-of-town calls, say?
No. Just that one toll call, a Long Beach number, I think. He has a business friend down there he used to call.
Do you know the number, ma'am?
I can show you. It's on last month's phone bill. Please, Sergeant, if Harry's done something wrong, he did it for us. Me and the baby. Harry's not bad.
Yes, ma'am.
He's done something. He did it for us. Harry hasn't had it easy. He wanted to get things for the baby. Clothes, a better house. All he wanted was a little happiness. A little happiness.
You had it wrong, ma'am.
Hmm?
You don't buy it with bum checks. Before we left Mrs. Johansson, we called and had a stakeout placed on the house. And then we got a sample of her husband's handwriting and the Long Beach telephone number that he was in the habit of calling. The next morning, Don Myers in handwriting compared Harry Johansson's letter with the signatures on the worthless checks. It matched. We called the Harrington Universal Cosmetics Company. They never heard of Harry Johansson. We called that Long Beach phone number. A woman answered and gave us the address where the telephone was installed. Turned out to be a swanky modern apartment house. In apartment 18, we interviewed a good-looking brunette. She identified herself as Harry Johansson's common-law wife. She was well-dressed, and the apartment was richly furnished.
What's it all about? What do you want, Harry?
Police business. You know where he is?
Well, what's he done?
Do you know where he is?
Yeah, he drove into Hollywood this morning. Might be back tonight. I don't know for sure.
Is this your apartment?
Yeah. Mine and Harry's.
You're sure Johansson's not here now?
Of course I'm sure. Why?
Well, you won't mind if we come in and look around, huh?
I have a right to know what it's all about.
Johansson's wanted for forgery. Now, if you want to get involved, you help him hide out.
I'm not asking for that kind of trouble. Go ahead and look.
Mm-hmm. Take the bedroom, will you, Ben?
Right.
Never mind, cop. Thanks for help, honey.
I don't want any part of your trouble, Terry. I didn't know a thing about it, okay?
Ben.
Yeah.
You better come along too, lady.
Well, tell him, Harry. I don't know what it's about. What's the idea of getting me mixed up in this?
How do you think I was paying for this place? Taking you out and buying us clothes for you.
I don't want any part of it. Three-room apartment, a couple of dresses, that's all he ever got me.
You got no complaints, lady.
Huh?
That's more than he bought his kids. 1 p.m. Friday. Ben and I took Harry Johansson to the county jail where he was booked for suspicion of forgery. We called Mrs. Johansson and notified her. She immediately contacted friends and relatives and raised enough money for a writ to have her husband released from jail. 3 days later, Johansson was arraigned and a date set for his preliminary hearing. After the arraignment, Ben and I took him back to the county jail for rebooking.
I'd like to ask you a question, Johansson.
Yeah?
You got any money of your own, man?
Why don't you stick to your own business, copper?
That family of yours is having a pretty rough time. Your wife borrowed every cent she could find to bail you out. Now, what's she going to live on?
She's got relatives.
No, there's the elevator.
Come on, Johansson.
They're not going to put me back in Folsom. Not in 100 years.
You've done 2 stretches already for hanging paper. You should have known better, mister.
You got it all figured out, haven't you, Fuzz? Well, I'm not going back.
Take it easy. You got a couple of more weeks on bail before the trial.
Yeah. A couple of weeks.
It's
the matter with you? Don't you feel well?
They won't get me back to Folsom.
You're not making it any easier on yourself. All right, Archie.
Don't you cops understand? I hate it. Every lousy bit of it. I'm not going back to Folsom. I'm not going back. Now, do you understand?
It's a good idea, mister. You remember that when you get out. They booked Harry Johansson in the county jail. His bail was continued, and he was released pending the trial. During the next week, along with the district attorney's office, Ben and I helped prepare the case against Johansson. 3 days before the trial opened, we had a phone call from Mrs. Johansson. She told us that her husband had disappeared. Well, there was nothing we could do until he actually failed to appear in Superior Court at the appointed time. On Monday, April 3rd, the case of the State versus Harry L. Johansson officially opened. The defendant failed to show. A bench warrant was immediately issued, and we got out a broadcast and an APB on the suspect. Stakeouts were placed in his house and at the apartment of his common-law wife. 2 days passed. No sign of him.
Nothing, Joe. I'm late. Just checked it out.
Yeah. How about those two ex-con pals of Johansson's? Did you check with them?
Yeah, nothing there. I don't see how I can last out much longer. One suit of clothes, no money.
You still got a checkbook. When did the skipper say he was coming back?
On 7:30 tonight. 7:15 now.
I'll get it. Forgery, Friday.
Joseph, this is your mother.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Ma.
I forgot to tell you when you called earlier. You're supposed to be home tonight by 8 o'clock.
What's that, Ma?
Mary Fowler, she's coming over to visit tonight, and Genevieve's coming with her.
Yeah, well, look, will you try to explain to them that I'm working and I can't get away, huh?
Well, all right, Joseph, I'll try.
Now, if I possibly can, I'll try to make it home by 10. Will that be all right?
All right, Joseph, I'll see what I can do. Genevieve's going to be disappointed.
Yeah. If I'm later than that, don't wait up for me, huh?
Yes, all right, then.
Bye, Ma.
Yes. Hi, Joseph.
Oh, hi, Skipper.
The call just came in.
Yeah?
They found Johansson.
Captain Elliott, Ben, and I drove out the highway to the Tahunga Wash. We turned off and headed into the Mount Gleason area. Captain Elliott directed us onto a dirt road. Halfway up one of the mountains, we spotted a group of cars pulled off on the shoulder of the road. We parked behind them, got out, and started over.
Who found the car, Skipper?
One of the people living back in the hills spotted it on his way home from work.
Coroner got here in a hurry.
Yeah. Hi, Dave.
Oh, how you doing, Joe? Captain Elliott.
How long has he been dead?
It was last night, I figure. Come on over.
Yeah.
You talked to the man who found Johansson's body, Dave?
Yeah, he didn't touch a thing.
What'd you find?
Powder burns on the temple, powder on the hands. Boys from homicide found the note. It was on the seat right next to him. Here it is, here. It's been checked.
Yeah, thanks.
All ties in, huh, Dave?
Pretty tight, yeah. Gene Bechtel from Homicide wants to talk to you, Captain.
Okay, be right back, Joe.
Right. Who do you address the note to, Joe? His wife?
No, the girlfriend.
Look what he wrote it on.
Yeah, blank check.
On April 9th, an inquest was held in the coroner's office on the main floor of the Hall of Justice, Los Angeles, California. The coroner's jury returned a verdict that the death of Harry L. Johansson was caused by a gunshot wound in the head, self-inflicted. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
All right, that is Dragnet going back to August 31st, 1950, The Big Check starring Jack Webb. And, you know, in there, Lisa, was Peggy Webber. Now, Peggy Webber still does classic radio reenactments and all kinds of stuff. She was in a lot of these radio shows. She lives in Los Angeles. She has a company called CART, California Arts Radio Theater. And she was probably 17 years old. Something like that, when she was doing the Dragnet shows, and she played Jack Webb's mother on there. And then she would double as a young lady, a little bit, you know, she used to call him Joseph. You know, I maybe should do it.
I was going to say, Carl, maybe you could play the older woman.
You know, if they do one of these reenactments with Roger Badish, I might play the Peggy Weber role.
Right.
Of Jack Webb's mom. I think that would be a nice.
I'd like to hear that voice again.
Oh, well, Joseph, you know.
You got it. You nailed it.
I get the part?
You got it.
All right. Really good. Thank you. I'm in, Lisa. I am in.
If only Roger had that
power.
You
know what? There's no small parts. There's no small parts, only small actors.
I'm familiar with that one.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Hey, Mike, look. Lisa's up.
Yes, she is.
Wow.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day music.
Lisa's awake.
Awake and alive and just craving chocolate truffles for some reason.
Last Saturday, you were out like a light, man. Yeah, you were sawing logs
away,
over there.
Right?
Man,
sure.
You need to have your uvula taken out. I'll tell you that right now. You need an operation
on that
uvula.
That sounds
wrong. That's what it is. Just snip that uvula and no more snoring.
All right. Well, luckily, you don't have to sleep next to me at night. So.
Dan Wolf, your husband, my lawyer, will thank me forever.
Uh-huh.
He won't have to wear the earplugs anymore.
Right. Well, actually, it's the other way around in my house,
but
we won't get into the intimates.
We won't talk about that. All right, third hour here of the WGN Radio Theater. It is 1:08 in the morning. It's Sunday. It's Sunday already here.
It's Sunday. We will be back in just a few hours tonight.
Like
20
hours. I don't know the math. I'm not going to do the math.
We'll be back at 11 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, we will. And we're playing more classic radio. I think, let's see, tomorrow or tonight. I mean,
tonight.
We have a sci-fi adventure of Dimension X. Then it's the Eddie Cantor Show with special guest Humphrey Bogart. And then the Adventures of Sam Spade Detective. That's tonight at 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. And in this hour, we're going to tune into a Western. It's called Frontier Gentleman. It stars John Daner, who also played another Western hero, Paladin, on the radio. But he played J.B. Kendall. He was a reporter for the London Times. And I think you will really like this. It might be the first time we've played one.
Great.
On the WGN Radio Theater. What were you about to say?
I also want to make sure that everybody remembers then when this show ends at 2 a.m., that's when we set the clocks ahead 1 hour. So at the end of our 2 a.m. show, it will actually be 3 a.m.
Right. Well, that's way too confusing for me.
Okay.
So I'll just...
We got it all covered here.
Anything technical, I run from. I'm terrified
of
technology.
I'll have to change your clocks.
Does that mean I'm going to have to come over and actually change the clocks?
I was just going to say that.
Absolutely.
Carl's catching up.
Why you make the big bucks, buddy. All right, so on this hour, it's, as I said, Frontier Gentlemen. It's all brought to you in part by our sponsor, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming war drama, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, about a 19-year-old private, Billy Lynn, who survives a harrowing Iraq battle that is captured by news cameras.
All right. If you know who this celebrity is, you'll win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Now, here's a hint. You'll hear him in a scene now from the Riddick series of sci-fi films.
How do I get eyes like that?
You gotta kill a few people.
That's all you gotta do, Lisa.
That's all you need.
Just kill a couple of people.
Well, it's a few, actually.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
How do I get eyes like that?
You gotta kill a few people.
Yeah, you gotta kill a few people.
And we have Farrah on the line. Hey, Farrah.
Hello, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Do you recognize that voice?
Yes, Vin Diesel.
You are right, Fair. You are a winner. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's My Very Favorite Pizza. And there's 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can check them out at loumalnati's.com. We hope you have a delicious pizza on us.
Thank you so much, guys. Have
Thanks,
a great
and don't forget to share it.
Thanks,
Farrah.
Yeah, I'll have a slice.
That's my favorite.
Let's go over to Farrah's house and have a couple slices with her.
I'm sure that if I had to pick one food to have for the rest of my life, only one, it would be pizza.
I agree.
Wow. Pizza, deep dish, like Lou Malnati's pizza.
Well, you know what? Thankfully, you don't have to do that. You can have something different every single day.
True, but if. It's you know an why? If then kind of a thing.
Do you know why? You know where I'm going with this?
I don't.
Me's Meals, one of our sponsors. They just started sponsoring our show, and we're very grateful. And you know what? We're all on the Me's Meals system here. It's really cool. It's not a subscription service. You don't have to get food sent to you all the time. This is one of these things where you go onto their menu, you go onto the website, check out their menu, pick the food you want sent, and then it's sent to you. You cook it with the family. It's a lot of fun.
So here's the story. There's about 10 or 12 items on the menu each week, and it changes every single week. I usually pick three dinners. So I like to have Me's Meals three times a week. They bring the food to my house on Monday. I open it up. It's completely ready to be prepared. It's measured and cleaned and chopped and cut and all ready to be prepared. There's little instruction cards in the preparation as well.
I need that. It
tells me exactly what to do. Most meals are on the table in 20 to 30 minutes. And I have a beautiful home-cooked meal for my family every day that I have Me's Meals. And I have posted many of the dinners that I have cooked, which include this week I've got toasted gnocchi with vegetables, and I have a squash pizza. And I know, Carl, you made a salmon dish this week with
Listen,
your son.
You know what?
This is delicious.
I felt like a chef cooking the salmon. And the instructions are so easy. I mean, I am the worst cook ever, right? And I said to my son, you know, my son loves salmon. I said, come on, CJ, let's cook this together. And we did. We had a blast. We made the salmon together. And I didn't have flour. I needed some flour, but I used butter and said it was fine. It was great. But I made the whole thing. It was amazing. It was so good. It came with the chopped broccoli and chopped tomatoes and this awesome kind of a lemon sauce. It was,
well,
it was fabulous. I posted it.
It's on our Facebook page. I've got
I made it with my two little hands.
I've got a squash pizza coming this week.
Really?
And I've got some
what about
gnocchi,
you, Mike?
Toasted
what did you
gnocchi.
Make?
Today, actually, I made toasted corn and zucchini tacos.
Oh, those
How
looked
was that?
Really good.
I haven't made mine yet.
You know what? It was really good. It's something I would actually not normally eat.
Yeah.
And then we just got it. And,
yeah.
And
so you
it
made it
good.
With your wife. So it's great. It's a great activity that you can do together.
I had a chicken calzone, too.
Oh, I had the chicken calzone.
Good.
I think that's my favorite thing so far.
And, you know, being Italian, you would think I'd know how to make a calzone. But guess what? I don't know how, but I was able to do it.
It came with a whole wheat dough that we cooked. It was delicious.
It was fantastic. All right. So Me's Meals is a fantastic company. Just go to their website. It's Me's, which is spelled M-E-E-Z, meals.com. But here's the thing, okay? We want you to try Me's Meals, and we are taking all of the risk out of the equation. We want to send you a free dinner for two on Me's Meals in the WGN Radio Theater. All of our listeners, anybody listening, they can go on the website, order a dinner for two, absolutely free, and it's delivered to your home. There's no cost whatsoever. And you know what? Me's Meals even took the $25 cap off of it. So even if it goes higher than 25.
Any dinner for two. And it's so great. They literally show up at your doorstep with dinner ready to be prepared.
Yeah, this is really, really a great promotion from Me's Meals. And it's a limited time, so I don't know how long we're going to be able to do this. But if you want to do this, folks, write it down, Me's, which is spelled M-E-E-Z, Meals, Me'sMeals.com. Pick out any dinner for two, and they will deliver it to your home. And now, if you want other meals, too, for the week, fine. But if you want to try it absolutely risk-free, no risk at all, just go there and have dinner for two on us and on Me's Meals.
What you do is enter promo code RADIO.
Very important.
When you check out. Yeah. And if you need to see that information again, feel free to go to our Facebook page. It's posted right on the top of the Facebook page, everything that we just talked
about. Just go to Me'sMeals.com, M-E-E-Z, Meals.com, and order whatever you want to do. And then when you put in RADIO as your code, it'll give you a meal for two free delivered to your door. And take advantage of this, folks. I really want you to try Me's Meals. I love it.
I love it.
I get three meals a week. I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. My son and I cook it together. It's a blast. And
you know
it's
what
delicious.
You know what I like about it is I don't, on any given day, I don't have to figure out what I want to eat. It's already there, and I got all the ingredients for it, and it's fast and easy.
Go to Me's Meals.com, M-E-E-Z, Meals.com. All right, time now for Frontier Gentlemen. Now, this is a Western series. It was an adult Western series. John Daner starred as J.B. Kendall. He was a reporter for the London Times newspaper, and he was sort of an Englishman in the West, talking about what was happening in this tumultuous West. And great stars in this, all L.A. actors, Harry Bartell, Virginia Gregg, Stacey Harris, so on and so forth. John Daner was the star, and I know you're going to like it. It's called The Honky Tonkers. This is from February 16th, 1958. Here's John Daner in Frontier Gentlemen.
There are places west of the Missouri where gambling stakes are rather high. This is particularly true when the wager depends on a man's life.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I had stayed in Montana Territory hoping for an interview with Sitting Bull or even Crazy Horse. But General Crook's attack across the Tongue River put an end to that hope, at least for the time being. And so, with a full-fledged Indian war exploding around me, I had no choice but to remain where I was. The settlement with a normal population of perhaps 100 had swollen to 4 times that number. The saloon keeper, gambler, and others were doing a thriving business, and the most popular spot in town was undoubtedly a place bearing the rather, sanguinary legend, Jug of Blood. It was what is known as a honky-tonk. I was passing outside when the trouble began. The doors flew open and half a dozen brawling men erupted in the street. In sheer self-defense, I became a combatant. My dear fellow, I haven't the slightest idea.
Yeah, you couldn't buy that.
Jolly good.
Oh, it's just some no good son of a gun was cheating at poker. And no good son of a gun.
Really?
Yeah.
One of those?
How should I know? I wasn't playing. I just heard it all. Yeah. You know, if there's anything I hate, it's no good cheating son of a gun.
Yes. Bad form. I don't blame you.
Hey, well, what's your hurry?
Now, if you'll pardon me.
Hey, come on in and have a drink.
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Oh, come on. There's mighty pretty little gals in there.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Carter hired them all the way out from back east. It's on the way up to Virginia City. Sue Ruckus has held him out.
I'm sorry to hear it, but now, really, I must be going.
Oh, mister, you ain't seen such dancing, such carrying on. I'll be a son of a gun if I let you move on without seeing the nicest bit of female woman of flesh this side of St. Louis. Son of a gun, come on, let's go. You won't be sorry. There's a table over there.
Right.
Well, it's kind of early. Still a little quiet. She'll warm up by and by. Hey, her name is Smith, Walleye Smith.
J.B. Kendall, Mrs.
Howdy. Hey, what are you drinking?
Oh, I'll take a beer if you don't mind.
Oh, don't make no never mind to me. Jake!
Yeah.
A beer from a pal, whiskey for me. Tell Andy to bring him over.
Okay.
J.B. Kendall, huh?
J.B.
Hey, you any kin to Arizona Kendall's down at Tombstone?
No.
What's your business, mister? I'm inside from fighting.
I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Oh. Well, I'm a cowpuncher myself. Got paid off last week. This here's a good place to spend your money. Hey, how you like that there picture over the bar? Ain't she something?
There's quite a bit of her, isn't there?
What'd you say?
I say there's quite a bit of her, isn't there?
Yeah.
A little out of proportion here and there. Ample.
Well, son of a gun! I like you, Kendall. I like you! Son of a gun! Hey, what paper are you writing for?
London Times.
Well, son of a gun. Hey, Annie.
Hiya, Mr. Smith.
Hey, sweetheart. This here is J.B. Kendall.
Hi.
He writes for a newspaper, London Times. He's an important man. Now, you go call Crystal. The drinks are on me.
Sure, Mr. Smith. Hey, Crystal.
Yeah, me, I go for the nice fat ones. Something you can grab a hold on. Never did like dancing with them skin and bone gals.
I gather Annie is your choice, huh?
Yeah. She's some looker, huh?
Oh, no doubt of it, Mr. Smith.
Of course, now, there ain't nothing wrong with Crystal. She's the one close herding with that son of a gun, Bill Bastard.
Oh, yeah.
See?
I paid $5.
I don't think he's taking kindly to your friend Annie's suggestion.
He's a raunchy buzzard, ain't he? He's drunker than all.
Look here, old boy. We don't want to cause any more trouble. You and your young lady have a nice evening. I'll be running along.
Oh, sit down. Huh? I owe you for that fight. I always pay my debts. Well, here they come. Ladies, meet J.B. Kent. This here is Crystal, J.B.
Crystal, how do you do?
Go on, sit in his lap, sweetheart. The poor fella ain't feeling his oats yet.
Well, no, I'm sure Miss Crystal will be much more comfortable in a chair.
Come here, Annie.
Hey, would you care for a drink?
No, thanks.
Oh. The gentleman you were dancing with, he seems rather upset.
Him?
Oh. Are you sure I can't get you something?
What's the matter? You don't like me? Ain't I good enough to sit in your lap?
Not at all. I'd be delighted, but
I'm Wild Bill Bascom, and ain't no man nor dog what takes my gal away from me. You riding herd on Crystal Bill?
I ain't riding herd on no one. But I paid good hard cash, and I'm going to have my dance out.
You go rattle hocks out of here.
And I say goose hockey to you, all I.
Gentlemen, I think the language is getting a trifle ripe. After all, there are ladies present.
Well, who are you, you son of a gun?
The name is Kendall.
Well, goose hockey to you,
you
Kendall.
Had your ride, mister. I ain't dancing no more with you. We like to stop my
you
feet off, Mr. Kendall.
I rather think it's up to the lady. Don't you, chum?
Lady? She ain't no lady.
Bill.
Son of a gun.
Bill, I'm giving you 1 second to rattle hocks out, and then I'm going to blow your ears off.
No.
Oh,
no need of that, Mr. Smith. You'll go along quietly, won't you, Mr. Bascom?
Oh, you think you're a pretty big son of a gun, don't you? Well, you don't stampede me, mister. Now, come on, girl.
Oh!
Not at all polite,
sir. Little fisticuffs there, Lisa. Little fisticuffs action there. Well, in the West, you know, they're always punching each other and stuff and shooting each other.
That's why you love that stuff.
Sort of like downtown Chicago. All right, that's the first portion of Frontier Gentlemen. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. So let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Before we get back to Frontier Gentlemen, I want to remind our listeners that at Grassroots, which we had Chuck Rhodes on a little earlier, at Grassroots, the 18th and 19th of this month, I said Todd Rhodes. Is that right, didn't I?
You said Chuck.
Did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
I think
so. Because I'm looking. Chuck Cannon is going to be at
Fair
Grassroots.
Enough.
Sorry about that, Todd. Chuck Cannon will be at Grassroots. That's going to be a great, great, great event. And if you want to get tickets, just call 847-650-5478. You know, I'm getting old, Lisa. I mean,
It's that one time you fell and hit your head on black ice. You've never been the same since.
I hit my head on black ice.
It's the black ice.
It really is. And then Mike Mentz is going to be there April 1st and Jimmy Nick mid-April. So you got to check it out. Go to Grassroots in Barrington and you will love it. The number 847-650-5478. But the 18th and 19th, Chuck Cannon will be there. All right? All right, not bad. Okay, very good. You ready to get back to this now?
I am ready.
Lisa, your dad's probably listening and saying, Carl, come on, I like the Westerns.
He's sleeping, but he'll listen to the podcast.
Mr. Matanky, we don't want to disappoint Mr. Matanky. Let's get back now to the Honky Tonkers on Frontier Gentlemen.
You're breaking my heart!
Then be a good chap, and as Mr. Snoop puts it, go rattle your heart.
Ain't no son of a gun telling me what to do. I'm Wild Bill Bascom.
Get out! He's pulling his gun!
Oh, son of a gun. You killed me. What's he mean, you killed him? He shot himself. You didn't even draw on him.
I don't allow no gun shooting in here.
Jake, it's Bill Bascom. He aimed to salivate Mr. Kendall here, and he killed himself instead.
Oh, the silly son of a gun. Now, you boys, you get him up out of there. That rug cost me $300.
Will somebody get a doctor? He's not dead.
I bet he is.
How much you bet, mister?
He ain't dead. I seen him move. Look.
Why don't you shut your mouth?
Now, get him off my rug. Take him in back. You can put him on the faro table.
Give me a hand.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody find a doctor, please.
Ain't no doctor except an army surgeon. He's getting himself scalped by the
Sioux. Well, that's true. Ain't no doctor around here.
I never knew he was this heavy.
Carefully.
Hey, what are you doing? All right, break up the game, boys. There's a goner here. Needs a table.
Come on, fellas.
I tell you, all right, boys. Put him down.
I'm dying, boy. Give me a drink.
I'll get it.
Put him down, I said. Put him down.
He's there.
My old Martha. See me now.
Annie, see if you can find some bandages. Clean rag, hot water.
Sure. And don't you fret, Bill. You're going to be just fine.
Well, I got to get back to the bar. Anything you boys need, you let me know. Whiskey's on the house, Bascom.
You're a good man, Jay. I'll put in a word for you when I get where I'm going.
Yeah, well, you do that. So long.
All right, now. Let's get that jacket off, Preston.
Mister, you treat me like I don't deserve.
Don't talk now. Smith, get the other arm.
Sure. Hey, no, now, wait a minute. Now, look, I ain't kidding you. These are my dying words. I tried to kill you. In my drink, I tried to, and it's heavy on my conscience. Well, I sure wish I had me a preacher to make my peace with.
Bill, will you shut your son of a gun mouth and let us get this here jacket off of you?
I ain't...
Careful now. There we are. Now I have to tear the shirt.
No. No, boy. This here's my best shirt. I want to be buried in it.
Here's the whiskey, Bill. Let me chop his head up.
Crystal, you, angel of mercy, that's what you are, Crystal, you. Crystal, girl, I'm asking your forgiveness, sweetheart. I acted purely like a broom tail with you.
Forget it, Bill. Finish your drink.
Does look mean, don't it, Mr. Kennedy?
Smith, come over here.
Just hold it still. I reckon he ain't got long. You know, if he don't bleed to death, it's gangrene for sure.
Now, we can stop the bleeding, I think. But we've got to get that bullet out.
Oh, ain't nobody around here crazy enough to try that. Ain't no sense carving up the poor son of a gun. Let him die comfortable like
he doesn't have to die. There might be a chance. Would you help?
Help what?
Operate on him.
You're loco.
There's nothing to lose.
How about another drink, boy? I'm going fast.
All right, Mr. Kendall.
Give him all he wants, Crystal. Keep pouring it into him.
You think it fitting for a man to die drunk?
I think it fitting for a man not to feel any more pain than he has to.
What you doing with that knife?
I told you I'm going to take that bullet out of him. If you want to help me, good. If not, you'll oblige me by rattling your hocks out of here.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Poor Jack Benny. The gang arranges a surprise party for him on his birthday. But the surprise backfires in a hilarious way today on CBS Radio's Jack Benny program. Never mind the greeting cards. Forget about buying him a present. Just be sure to join us on most of these same stations later on today when everybody has a good time at Jack Benny's birthday party, except Jack himself. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis' production of Frontier Gentlemen.
There are some men who possess a rather odd sentimentality about pain and death. They don't hesitate to empty a gun into a living body. With clear and shining conscience, they do this deed. But for those same men to retrieve a life, to cut into flesh to do so, that is a different matter. Walleye Smith was of this type. The thought of operating on Bill Bascom offended his sense of delicacy.
Oh, you ain't no doc. You can't do that.
I can bloody well try.
I couldn't find no bandages, so I tore a sheet up. And here's your water.
Good girl. Put it down on the table. Now, which one of you ladies will help?
I will.
Oh, sure. Me too.
All right, we'll try to stop the bleeding first. How do you feel, Bill?
I'm dying, partner. How about another drink?
Annie?
Sure.
Crystal, take some sheeting. Press it over the wound. Keep holding it there.
Now, come on.
Son of a gun, Kendall. I say you can't do it.
My dear fellow, will you step over here for a moment?
Oh, no, you just stop playing,
man. Now. Now, Smith, look here. The fact that Bascom might die is partially my fault.
How come? He shot himself.
Circumstances. Kismet.
Well, you ain't no doc.
So you said.
You'll kill him.
If we're lucky, I won't.
If a man's luck runs out, that's the end. Don't pay to go again, nature.
At a less pressing moment, I should be delighted to enter into a philosophical discussion with you, Smith, but not just now. Now, be a good chap and don't argue.
But I ain't arguing, you son of a gun. I'm telling you, you ain't going to cut Bill up.
Smith, I took you for something more than a thick-headed clodhopper. I see I was mistaken.
Oh, mister, you go on talking like that, there's going to be another dying man in here.
Oh, dear. Awfully sorry.
Son of a gun.
What's the matter with you boys? You stop, you hear?
Now, Smith, clear out and stay out.
Oh, son of a gun.
Now, how's our patient?
Finish half the bottle. There's enough rot gut in him to melt that bullet.
Wishful thinking, my dear. Bill. I'm going to take the bullet out. He'll do. All right, Crystal. Take a handful of rags. And when I tell you, wipe the blood away.
What do you want me to do?
Hold his hand. Try to keep him still.
Oh.
Ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Here we go. I didn't know how deeply the bullet had penetrated. I could only guess at its approximate direction. I made an incision. Wipe. Wipe.
There you see, son of a gun, carving him up like a piece of buffalo meat.
Hey, you can't do that, mister.
I'm doing it. Get out.
100 cent Bascom makes it.
Who said that?
Me.
You're on.
Wipe.
He ain't breathing so good.
I know. Will you get out?
No, not me. I got money on Bill. Anybody else want to make a little bet?
Yeah, 50. He's still alive in 2 hours.
Odds on that, two get you one.
A bet.
Wipe.
Oh, why don't you go on out? We're trying to save him.
You go right on trying, Annie. Anybody else?
Well, I'd like maybe...
Kendall, what do you think? Has he got a chance?
How the devil should I know?
Sure is a mess, ain't he? Yeah, poor old Bill, he was a good man.
Yeah, sure could top a horse. Yeah,
Jake, 200, he's still alive, come 4 o'clock.
It's midnight now. I'll take it.
All right, now, Candle, you son of a gun, you pull him through.
You want a chance to win?
Well, sure I do.
Get these people out.
All right, come on, Jake.
No, I'm staying. I got a big investment in that boy.
Very well. I'm finished. You stay here. I won't go on. Let him die.
I see.
Let him die.
All right. We'll wait outside. Now, Walleye, you stay. You give us a word every 5 minutes.
Well, sure.
Hold him down.
I got you, Billy boy. Rest easy. Easy.
Now, I can't find it. Can't find it. Give me a rag, Crystal.
Here.
Thank you.
Look at the color of him. He's gone.
Annie, give him whiskey, quickly.
Sure.
Yes, that's better. I can feel it. I can feel it. Yes, it's there. Yes, I've got it. Wipe, Crystal.
Now, ain't that something? I never did see a piece of lead dug out before. Son of a gun. Hey, everybody, got it out! And the son of a gun is still alive!
We bound up the wound, made him as comfortable as we could. He'd lost a great deal of blood and was terribly weak. There was nothing to do now but wait. The two girls stayed in a room with me, and there was something very different about them. Both were far from being beautiful, but there was a softness, a quality of loveliness, which made their garish costume seem completely out of place.
Howdy. How's she coming?
About the same.
You know, there's better than 10,000 been bet outside. 3:30 now. You think he'll live till 4?
He might.
I got 200 says he got to.
And obviously he's got to.
Kind of funny if he does pull through, though, huh?
It'll be a miracle.
He ain't a bad son of a gun. Sure looks white. Why? Almost like a kid, don't he? Anything I can do, Kendall.
Say a prayer if you feel like it.
Man, I ain't a praying man, but I hope he makes it. Not on account of my 200. I just hope he makes it.
For you, that's a prayer, Smith.
You ought to have a drink.
No, thank you.
Well, I'll go out and keep them all quiet.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Mister.
Yes, Crystal.
I know a prayer. You think it'd help?
I don't know. It might.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff.
Bascom. Bascom.
Bill? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Bill? Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me, Bascom?
I'm dying, boy. Give me a drink.
Wild Bill Bascom didn't die. A number of people won money because of it, and a number of others lost. Mr. Smith insisted on dividing his winnings with me. During his presentation speech, he was so overcome, but not once did he refer to me as a son of a gun.
an omission I was happy to overlook. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jack Crucian, Stacey Harris, Virginia Gregg, Eve McVeigh, Barney Phillips, and Charles Seal. Music was composed and conducted by Jerry Goldsmith. Bailey, Nat King Cole, and Eartha Kitt may not tell all to Mitch Miller tonight, but knowing Mitch as we do, we're sure his talented visitors will feel free to talk about anything and everything of interest. For an informal get-together with some of the brightest names in show business, hear The Mitch Miller Show every Sunday night on most of these same stations. Now stay tuned for The Ford Road Show, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.